This is Ready Radio, preparing you to be ready for anything. Now, here's your survival guide for Ready Radio, John Rush.
All right, welcome. It is Ready Radio, KLZ 560, live show today on April the 26th. So if you're listening to a replay of this program, which you might be in the future because of some of the topics we'll cover today, might actually play this show again in the future. So if you're listening and it's not April the 26th, you'll know why and what day it is and kind of the time frame that we're involved in and what we're talking about. Special guest today, Sean Rowland, joining us. He's been with us in the past. Sean, welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks, John.
Always a joy having you, founder and CEO of Jace Medical. And before we get going, I want to talk a little bit about just the whole prepping end of things and what's happening in the world today, especially in the U.S. But explain Jace Medical before we get going too far along here, Sean.
Oh, sure. So our mission at Jace is to help the world be better prepared medically. And we're kind of entering that foray by providing access to prescription medications for folks before they go to the pharmacy and the shelves are bare, or before there's a disaster of any sort that might prevent them from getting through to their doctor. That's our reason for existing.
Okay, and which we'll get into some of those things and what you can provide and help with and how all that works here in just a little bit. But there's an article, by the way, out here of late, and by the way, I shouldn't say a article, several articles. There's a lot of folks talking the whole sort of, I hate to say prepper movement, but people that are trying to be more prepared. And by the way, Sean, last time you were on with me, we even talked about this a little bit. It's not just, you know, folks that are what, and I always hate to use the term prepper because you think of that, you know, nut job that buries himself in a cave and he's got all of his provisions for the next 10 years. I mean, that's what people envision as prepping, although it can take on all sorts of other flavors besides what I just said. Reality is, though, Sean, there's a lot of people that are, I guess you could say, prepping, and it comes from all walks of life, right?
Yeah, you know, it did used to be maybe one of these things that was kind of a boogeyman, zombie apocalypse scenario, and you're going to get ready for it. But the fact of the matter is, the in today's day and age, when you go to the pharmacy and you can't get medications, when you go to to buy a car and there's no computer chips, that crosses political lines.
Correct.
And everybody is affected.
Yeah, and you brought some great points. No matter what's going on in our world today, these sorts of things can come up. We've seen it through COVID. We've seen it after COVID, you know, different disruptions. And Sean, I will be the first to say, and maybe I was a little bit naive prior to COVID, but I really felt like, and again, I guess I am naive in this, even though I do this on a daily basis, I really felt like our supply chains were much more robust than they actually are. Now, I should have known better, and I'm an automotive guy, so I come out of that world, and I kind of know how that end of things works at times. But on the same token, Sean, I mean, if I was surprised at the lack of robustness to our supply chain, I got to believe other people are as well.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, it's, you can go down this rabbit hole and end up huddled in a ball just realizing how exposed we are and how exposed,
right.
When you talk about the supply chain and the globalization of manufacturing, and while it comes with a lot of benefits, there are also some serious drawbacks that we are now starting to see kind of peaking out and becoming more and more prevalent.
I agree. And I don't know, Sean, if there's any supply chain other than you growing your own food and having your own, quote unquote, chain of supplies on your own, which is what you and I are going to talk about. Reality is, I don't know that there's any particular supply chain that isn't vulnerable in some fashion.
Yeah. You know, in the pharmaceutical world, I'm always out there trying to inform people about how we depend on these foreign sources for our medications. But then I turn around and look at, you know, a year or two ago when we had the baby formula shortage.
Right.
And that was
right.
100% domestic, you know, domestically produced and right here in Michigan and a couple other places. And that also, you know, we ended up in the same place. So you're right. There is no kind of perfect solution. At the end of the day, it's like, you know, the homesteaders seem to be the ones that are sitting pretty.
I can't disagree with that. So I recommend this to people. I want to get your thoughts on this. I also feel like, and I realize that it's really hard to tell exactly what you're going to need at any particular time, although I think people could get a notebook out and start writing just some basic things. And by the way, folks listening, I do mean write. Even though I'm a huge technological advanced individual and I love technology and I think there's a place for those sorts of things, there's something about paper to pen, or sorry, you know, hand to pen to paper in your mind and what goes through in that regard, Sean. And I do feel like in some cases, just sitting down, really thinking through what are the things that I personally, I and my family have to have for us to sustain life. What are those things, and start making a list?
Yeah, that's a great first step. It can be so overwhelming when you see all that's out there and first aid kits and food storage and what, you know, you go down the list and it starts to become a little bit overwhelming. And how do you prioritize it? But just that initial thought exercise of sitting down, and I would say at the top of that and anybody's list, really, just to give you a place to start with your means of communication. When you've got family members at work, at school, whatever that situation is in your circle, I've seen this firsthand, and I've seen how, and I was shocked personally by how dependent I was on just access to the internet, access to texting, whatever, all these different means of communication. And until I was in a place, in a scenario, in a disaster where that wasn't right there, I realized how dependent I was on that. And there are solutions to help you deal with those things. That's a great place to start.
And for you listening, there are. In fact, I've been studying some of those things, learning more and more about that. And no, I'm not talking about going, you know, full bore, you know, ham operational, which some of you can, some of you have, some of you that are listening have already been down that path. Congratulations, you're one step ahead of most. Although, how portable are some of those things, which, again, Sean, I think I myself, I mean, I'm really looking closely at, okay, what are these devices that we actually buy and get a hold of? And then, by the way, make sure that you have with you, really, it needs to be in your daily bag at all times. And what is that device? And I will be quite frank, Sean, I haven't quite decided yet what is that device.
Well, there are options, and you do have to, you know, just it's going to depend on some of it might be your technical prowess or the other resources you have that'll help guide you in one direction or another. But the idea is to have some redundancy, to have alternative means, even if at the end of the day, all it is a solar powered radio that you can get emergency broadcasts on. That could be crucial. And that's a start that anybody can access and use something like that.
And I don't think for a lot of you listening, those who may be even tuning in for the first time, ready-radio.com, by the way, is our website. We find all sorts of different products and things that we actually put up. There's links to where you can go and buy some of those items. I'll continue to expand that. I will be the first to admit in the last month or so, I've not spent a ton of time on that, and I need to get back on that, especially as we get into now some of the spring and summer months here that we're in. I will be diligent and get some of those things to producer Ann where she can put some more of those things up. And again, we're talking to Sean Rowland, founder and CEO of Jace Medical, and we will put a link up, by the way, in today's show notes of this program so you can actually find Jace Medical. We'll get into more of what Sean does in a moment. But Sean, I agree with you. I think the number one thing, and a lot of people don't even forget, is it kind of two-part. A, how are you going to communicate if something major happens, whether it be, you know, a solar flare, EMP, some sort of other, you know, huge disaster that we may encounter. On top of that, do you have a meeting place? Let's just say that even if you've gone through and you've thought through all the communication pieces and so on, maybe for some odd reason that fails. I've read a lot of things here of late, Sean, you know, sort of the apocalyptic type books and so on. And, you know, foreign entities and things like that can even block communication. It can even block the waves going out of certain types of communication, certain signals and so on. So while we need to have that plan, you need a secondary backup even to that in case you don't have the ability to communicate.
Yeah. So as you're talking, I'm remembering this was just a few weeks ago or a couple months ago. Do you recall there was that big cyber attack specifically targeting the healthcare industry. They shut down the ability for pharmacies to receive the prescriptions that were transmitted electronically. Just so happened at the very same time, very same day, thousands and thousands of people along the East Coast who had AT&T as their service provider found themselves unable to receive or place phone calls. And I'm bringing that up just because it doesn't have to be an EMP or some world ending event. There's no shortage of reasons that could come down and cause a serious problem. And you thought, well, okay, I don't have my cell phone, doesn't work, no big deal. Well, nobody has landlines anymore, and so it is a big deal if a cell network gets shut down. And you're right, now you can't communicate hey, where are we going to meet? So having those backup plans, okay, in the event that we can't get a hold of each other, this is our meeting place, A, wherever that is, maybe that you've got an A and a B and a C. There's guides for this. Ready.gov is maybe a good place just to start, where they've got some templates to help you walk through a plan, a family plan, a communication plan, to get you started. But these are all things that until you sit down and just take a moment to think them through, they're not things that just naturally come to mind when you're thinking about, okay, how am I going to prepare?
A lot of these books that I'm kind of become addicted to these things, Sean. I do the Audible, so I listen to them. I've got, about a 35 to 40 minute drive each way, each day coming to and from the station, do that 6 days a week. So I get a lot of windshield time, so I'm able to listen to a lot of these. And for me, to sit down and read through these would take an immense amount of extra time. It's easy to do this in the car. So I listen to a lot of these, sort of end of the world scenario type books. And I will give all these authors credit because they really do think through a lot of things. And to their credit, they study this. They talk to a lot of experts. They gather all sorts of information and they build their characters and things around these events and things that happen. But one of the things I didn't even think about, Sean, and you would think that this would be sort of common knowledge, but if there's some sort of a world ending event or even a nation ending event, an EMP strike, the grid is down and everything is thrown into chaos, within, depending upon the time of the year it is, within several months, Sean, the rodent and mosquito and fly populations just go chaotic. And the reality is, do you have enough fly spray, bug spray, mouse traps, things like that? I mean, these are things, Sean, that most people, even in the preparedness world, are probably not thinking about.
Yeah, and what kind of diseases are then around and much more prevalent that weren't before, the kinds of diseases that you might read about from, pioneer times and now they're back and prevalent because of those kinds of things that you're just mentioning, or packs of roving dogs, it's a different world that we haven't imagined. And I guess my thing about that is, and I read those same books and yes, they're entertaining. They also are eye opening. They stop you to think. But like I said before, it can also be just kind of overwhelming. And it's just, okay, well, geez, mouse traps. I don't even have food storage, and you're telling me I gotta, So I think that it's there are some steps that everyone can take that will make a difference in your peace of mind and your level of preparedness. That when that time comes, and I truly don't believe it's if. A lot of these things are just a matter of time. It's when they come, that you'll have some level that will benefit you and give you kind of that extra step ahead when the time comes.
I can't disagree with anything you just said. It's not a matter of if, it is when. And that's not for me to be any kind of a naysayer. And Sean, I've talked to you enough now to where I don't feel like you're that way at all. It's just the practical sides of things. You really need to look at what's going on, world events, locally, all the different things that we have happened. And again, some of this could involve even the things Sean talked about that happened really on the East Coast as far as cell service is concerned and what was going on at pharmacies. And just, those were mini cyber attacks. Think about if we had a large scale cyber attack on just two or three infrastructure items in the U.S. Just think about how that would turn out, everyone listening. And it's a bigger deal. And I know that most of you that are listening to this program agree with me. You're on target. You're making these lists. You're going through these things. And Sean said a moment ago that, yes, some of this stuff can absolutely feel daunting. And all I can say is it's like a 1,000-mile journey that you're walking. You have to do this one step at a time. But if you never take the first step, you're never going to make it to the goal of finishing that journey. So, Sean, in a lot of cases, people just need to listen to us, listen to you, Go to Jace Medical. We'll talk about what you do in a moment after we come back from break in a more specific manner. But the reality, Sean, is you still have to take that first step and then just keep building. And no, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great, I love that. Yeah, Rome wasn't built in a day. It's a step at a time. And you don't have to have, this isn't a binary problem. This isn't like until I'm, there's you're never going to be fully prepared. And so it's not like, well, until I get this far down the road, it's as if I've done nothing. Even just that first exercise of where am I going to meet up with my family if we can't get a hold of each other, that can make a huge world of difference if you ever had to put that into practice. And so every step along the way is beneficial. And so there's no reason to not just take that one step at a time.
And again, everybody listening, Sean Roland with us today, Jace Medical. And some of you listening, by the way, the reason why, want to have Sean back anyways, but a couple of you even texted me and said, hey, you've had some of these particular guests on in the past. Can we get them back on and even delve a little deeper in some of the topics that you've already covered? So, Sean, partly why you're here today is, A, I just wanted to have you back. B, I've actually had some listeners say, hey, can we get some of these people back? You're one of them that was on that list. And I said, well, absolutely. We can make that happen, relatively quickly. This email came to me just a few weeks ago, and here you are. So, yeah, people are listening. They are applying the things that we talk about. And we'll take a break here in a moment and come back. But before we do that, again, I just want to say thank you. And, yes, you are welcome here, and people have asked for you to come back is my point.
Well, that's good to hear. Platforms like these really help just get the word out, raise awareness. That's what I'm trying to do here at the end of the day. Yes, I am the founder and CEO of Jace, but we really are on a mission that is, I would say, and it's not great business practice, but really I'm just more concerned that people are prepared. And if they come to us to help with that, awesome. If they have other ways to do that, great too. But let me educate you about what you
All right. We'll do some of that in a moment as soon as we come back. If you guys, by the way, have a particular question for Sean, please, best way to do that is just text me. I'll get that answered, and we'll get that handled as soon as we come back. 307-200-8222 is the text line. Again, 307-200-8222. We'll be right back. All right, Ready Radio, KLZ 560, our website, ready-radio.com. You can always go there and check out past episodes, things that we've done, the recommended things we have to buy. We'll keep adding to that list. Our guest this day, which is a live show today, April the 26th. If you're listening to a replay, maybe joined us a little late, you know what day it is. And yes, this is a show that's very important. And the information we're going to talk about next with Sean, I want to make sure you guys can hear a couple of different times. So most likely here in the near future, we'll play this particular episode again. So if you're listening to a replay, you know exactly what's going on and what day it is. But Sean Roland with us, Jace Medical. Now, we opened up and you said you kind of talked a little bit about Jace, and Sean's been on with us before, so some of you have heard this. But Sean, when it comes to the medication end of things, and a lot of these post-apocalyptic books and things that I've read, and it's very well known even inside of government that a large percentage, 30% roughly, in a major catastrophe coast to coast will die off within 30 days. And the biggest reason for that is because they lack the necessary items to stay alive. If they're especially taking a daily prescription or something along those lines, that really affects that group of individuals. That's where you come into play.
Yes. And, you think about that kind of a scenario, and the food, the water, that's something that, we can all eat the same food, we can all drink the same water, but we can't all take the same medications. Those are so particular to your needs, your health needs, whatever those conditions are that you might have, those allergies you might have. And so those are it's a lot harder to share that resource, I should say. And so that's where you've got to take the time to evaluate what your needs are from a health perspective and get prepared. And so that's where Jace comes into play, where we provide the means that for you to do that, to be able to get medications, get a year's supply of your blood pressure medication, of your seizure medication, get a supply of antibiotics and other emergency kinds of medications. We mentioned how disease and bacterial infections in that kind of a scenario that you mentioned, we would see quite the resurgence of. You go back pre-antibiotic, a little over 100 years ago, and all of the top reasons for all the top causes of death across the spectrum were all related to bacterial illnesses. We've just gotten so used to quick and easy access to things like antibiotics and just our modern healthcare that those things are hardly a blip on the radar. You know, you get a urinary tract infection, no big deal. You take some pills for a few days and all is well. Well, it used to be that could potentially be a life-threatening infection, shutting your kidneys down and leading to all kinds of complications. So, yes, it's an individual thing, and it needs to be treated that way, and that's what we're here to help do.
Specific question I have for you, and some of this was spurred through some of the books I've been listening to here of late, and this is, again, this you're the doctor, I am not, so this is a specific question along the lines of antibiotics. And I kind of know this just from taking different ones throughout the course of my life, but should we be looking at, on the preparedness end of things, different antibiotics for different types of things? And I don't want to try to scare anybody here, but anything, Sean, from just a standard cut that could turn into an infection to, I mean, some of these stories get into, you know, of course, mayhem breaks loose, people get shot, there's all sorts of other things that come along. I mean, are there different types of antibiotics for different scenarios?
Yes, and that's why, you know, speaking specifically about antibiotics, there's a reason they're prescription. There's a reason they're not just freely available over the counter. They don't come without their potential harms, and so there's an evaluation that needs to be taken place. First of all, is this a bacterial infection? Because if it's not, this antibiotic is not going to help anything. And all I'm doing is assuming the risk without any potential for benefit. So there's that initial, okay, is this a bacterial infection? And then number two, what are the likely types of bacteria causing this infection? And antibiotics have been specifically developed to go after specific types of bacteria. And there's a whole range of, without getting too technical and scientific here, of when we talk about bacteria and how it functions, how it propagates, and the antibiotics are specifically targeted to affect them in specific ways. And so, yes, to answer your question, it's very important that you take the appropriate antibiotic for the right bacteria. And so having a variety on hand is important. Knowing what you have and what it treats is obviously very important. Mm-hmm. And I always suggest to people, yes, you need to have the medications on hand. You need to know what they are, how to use them. And if possible, know who else in your circle might be able to help you in the event that you truly were cut off from being able to call your doctor or email or text, the doctor's office or go to a hospital. But there could be some other healthcare professional in that you may be able to get a hold of to tell you, hey, here's what I think you have and here's the med. I mean, this is even to a quick example of just a real life scenario that happened just a couple of weeks ago. We had someone write in to thank us, and they told us their quick story, which was that they got an infection, and they were able to go to their doctor, and the doctor said, okay, wrote a prescription, and they went to the pharmacy, and the pharmacy said, oh, so sorry, it's going to take us about 2 or 3 days to get this medication. They lived in a rural area. It wasn't like they could just go pop over to the next pharmacy. And so thankfully they remembered, they looked at the name, oh, I actually have this medication in my Jace case. So they went home and were able to take the medication that they already had on hand. And so that was a case of having a healthcare professional, you know, professionally diagnose them, prescribe a treatment, but the treatment wasn't readily available. And so, you never know. You never know. It's just a crazy world we're living in today's day and age. And these aren't far-flung scenarios of, oh, I'm just waiting for the zombie apocalypse. Like, this could happen this weekend to any one of us.
Okay, so, and I know inside of your Jace case, and I'm online right now and can see some of these things, so there's, you know, ciprofloxacin, erythromycin, and some others. So question I have for you, Sean, is, and I know it's really hard, and you're a doctor, and you can't, you know, look and treat every single person, especially in some sort of a prepper kind of a way, a post-apocalyptic way, but are there a handful. And is this enough, I guess, is where I'm going with the Jace case. Is that enough, and or should people be looking at adding even more than what you provide in the basic Jace case?
Yeah, so let me just, I guess the best place to start is to tell you why are there these five, and why are there they're there in the amounts that you see. It's very purposeful. This was done through a team of clinical pharmacists, infectious disease doctors, and the thought experiment here is, okay, in a situation where you're truly cut off, if it is that kind of worst case scenario, these apocalyptic type scenarios, what do we expect to see are the types of bacteria and infections that people would come across? And so we touched on a lot of this, as you mentioned, whether it was a lot of mosquitoes and rats and critters, just there will be diseases associated with that kind of resurgence. There's going to be dirty water. You get an infected cut and you're out working and doing things, working in a flood zone. And so thinking through this, what are all the types of common, and then what are just the most common things that we all deal with? Things like urinary tract infections. And then you've got, things like human bites, animal bites. So that's where the five medications you see there cover the widest variety of the most common things you would encounter, as well as those things that would become common in an apocalyptic type scenario. And then lastly is maybe this apocalyptic scenario came about because of something like bioterror. And we want to be able to treat people for a bioterror attack. The government has done a lot to identify what's the most common likely agents to be used and how would we treat it. And so they've got stockpiles of medications, but what they don't have is the ability to get that medication to us in a timely manner. So you need to have it ahead of time. So there you go. That's how that kit came to be. And then to finally answer your question about do you need any more than this? Yes. And so we've got 30 plus add-on medications that could and would be very useful in addition to these five. But these are the five most basic that everybody should have.
Okay. So, again, Sean's the doctor here. I'm not. He's put these things together. I would encourage you. In fact, Sean, one of the things that you and I can do once we're done today, either through the weekend or first of the week, I would like to be able to offer some sort of a show discount on these things. We'll come up with some sort of a code or some things along lines there and keep advertising this. I really don't know any other outlet besides what you're doing, Sean, that gives us the ability to give this to our listeners and then have them be able to go out and do this. Now, on top of all of the things we just talked about when it comes to the antibiotics end of things, I would like for you to also tell us, some have little first aid kits, some have huge first aid kits. I look at some first aid kits and think, man, these are things that, frankly, you could use other ingredients and have exactly the same thing. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's in the kit. I'll leave it. I guess what I'm asking, Sean, is there other basic things as people start looking through the medical ends of things, rubbing alcohol, for example? I mean, what other sorts of things should they have on hand outside of what even you can provide for them?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I mean, you can go down quite the rabbit hole when it comes to your emergency kind of first aid kit. A couple of just general statements, my advice to people is best case scenario, you should know what's in your kit and how to use it. But it's helpful to even have things in there that you maybe don't know how to use, but someone else does. And so it's okay to build that kit out and take time learning how to use the stuff in it. And if you never get fully up to speed, there's probably someone around you that could use that. So that's okay to do. Some other things to consider, obviously you've got the over-the-counter medications, things like antihistamines, painkillers, anti-inflammatories should be included in a medical kit. Something that a lot of people don't think about would be a list of your conditions, your medications, your allergies. It needs to be written down, and it does. And you need to have it. You need to look around to your family unit, whatever that is, and have those people do the same thing. What I've seen firsthand is in a disaster scenario. You've got communications are shut down, internet's not working. The healthcare providers, they don't have a way to quickly access your allergies or what you're taking and why you're taking it. You mentioned that first 30 days, those people who are the first to go because they don't have access to those life-saving medications. Those were the ones that I've seen line up saying, hey, I need this medication, I need this medication. And maybe they're not sure exactly of the dose or why. And so having that written down, and the reason I say your greater circle is because a lot of times those people might be incapacitated, can't communicate for themselves. So having that written down, talk about pen to paper, and have a little mini health history for everyone is also very important to include in that first aid kit.
My wife, who listens, you know, regularly, bless her heart, she takes one for the team on a regular basis, Sean. She just asked a question, which I think probably others are as well. If she's asking, and I'm sure other people are as well, how do you buy these from you without a prescription from their doctor? Is it because you're a doctor and you can do an interview and still do a prescription, or explain how that works? I'm sure other people are asking the same question.
Yeah, good question. So maybe we just take a second and explain the process. What we've done is leveraged, COVID was rough, but there were a few little things that I guess came out of COVID that are helpful in today's day and age. One of those is telemedicine. The adoption of telemedicine took a great leap forward during COVID from a regulatory standpoint and from just people being realizing that it's a viable means of delivering healthcare. So what ultimately, at the end of the day, this is a telemedicine process. You come to the website, you see what we have to offer, what works for you, you select those different things. And it takes you through this encounter, and the encounter asks some questions, some pretty basic questions about your health, your medications, your allergies, that kind of stuff. And that gets reviewed by a physician who's licensed to practice medicine in your state. And then that ultimate outcome of that is if everything looks okay, they'll generate a prescription, which then gets directly transmitted to one of our licensed pharmacies who we've prearranged aggressive pricing with. And they will fill these orders and send them to you. So really the whole process, I'd say 5-10 minutes from beginning to end, where you get, it's coming from a licensed physician, from a licensed pharmacy, and we do it through a telemedicine platform. And it depends on the state you're in. Most states you're able to do it just entirely the way I described. Sometimes you might need to jump on and either have a quick phone call or some type of interaction with the physician over and above through the website, but it's still, we've made it as convenient, as quick, as accessible as we possibly could, while keeping everything safe, appropriate, and above board.
All right, I have a few questions that have come in on the text line, so I'm going to roll through these one at a time so people can get their specific question answered. Somebody just asked, anti-diarrheal. Now, is that something that needs to be a prescription, or is that something you just want to make sure you have from over the counter?
Yeah, so Imodium loperamide is the generic name. That is an anti-diarrheal that should be in your kit. That's a great reminder. It's available over the counter. We do offer it as an add-on in our kit. And whenever anything that we offer, we back up with education. You'll get a medication card that accompanies it that tells you, here's how to take this medication, when to take it. So if you don't have that healthcare professional on the other end of the line, you've got something that you can hold on to help guide you through. But yes, loperamide anti-diarrheal is an important one to have. Anytime you get, whether it's a gastroenteritis, any diarrheal illness, it's not so much the diarrhea itself that is worrisome. It's the dehydration that is a result of that. And so in a situation, a dire situation where you can stop the loss of fluid. And so I should also mention, you also should have an anti-emetic, which is basically anti-nausea and vomiting. That's Zofran, for people might recognize that name. That should also be in your kit. That is a prescription-only medication and is also one of the add-ons that we offer.
Okay, perfect. I had this question came into a little bit off topic, but not. Everything we're talking about is regarding this particular whole genre of topics we can go through. If the grid goes down, how long can food stay in a deep freeze before it begins to defrost? I responded, Sean, and check me on this, but I said really depends on your environment, the time of the year. In other words, what's the temperature outside? What kind of a freezer do you have? Where is that freezer located? Is it in a hot portion of your house? Is it in a cold portion of your house? To me, all of those factors are going to come into play as to how long that meat in the freezer will actually last.
Yeah, that's why it's an impossible question to just say, to give an answer to about, well, it's going to last about 6 hours. There are too many dynamic factors that will greatly affect that. The ones that you mentioned it's going to be such a variable time. You've got too many factors to take into consideration.
Okay, back to the whole process of, you know, people, by the way, go online. It's Jace Medical. We'll have links up in our show notes, and then we'll make sure producer Ann actually puts a link up on our website. In fact, Sean, what I really should do is have you send me a little logo, artwork, whatever. We'll just put you into the mix of the sponsors and the things that we have going on here so people can find you even that much easier. It'd be a whole lot easier to do it that way than having people even have to go back in, look at show notes and so on. So we'll make it really easy for people to actually find you. But they go through this process, they go online, and as I said earlier, and I think, Sean, this is something that you would agree with as well, folks listening, please don't feel like, and I'm not trying to take any sales away from Sean, but don't feel like you've got to buy every kit in one fell swoop. This may be something that you have to budget, and you do X amount each month or every other month, and Sean, I'm assuming you can accommodate whatever somebody's budget is and do this over time, right?
Yeah, our ask or requirement is that when you come in, you at least are able to get that basic kit, and from there you can add on as you need. And also, you know, think there's kind of a division here. Of the one side, you have the emergency medications, the Jace case that we've been talking about. The other path, the other side of things, is the Jace Daily, which are those daily medications if you have a chronic condition that you want to access to get a year's supply of. And you might have three or four or five medications, and it might just be cost prohibitive for you to get all five up front. And so you can do one at a time. You don't have to. You can see exactly what you're getting, how much it's going to cost before you commit to anything. And just as you said, this doesn't need to be done in one fell swoop.
Okay, so you guys can plug away at this, you know, chip away at it. Now, a dumb question on my part that I was just thinking through when it comes to, and I know you and I mentioned this before, I want to make sure that we reiterate this to people and make sure that I even understand this fully. There are some, and make sure that I'm correct, Sean, there are some prescriptions that you can only get a certain amount of quantity for, or am I wrong in that? Can you just take any prescription, say an antibiotic, and get several doses or several bottles of, you know, in other words, some of these prescriptions, I know that's what people are thinking in their mind right now, is, okay, how do I get more than just a 30-day supply, for example?
Okay, so yes, and actually, before I answer that, let me just go back really quickly and mention, yes, you can do this piecemeal. However, every time you come through the system, your information needs to be reviewed. It's as if you're going to the doctor every time. And so you will be paying that physician's fee every time. And that's just the nature of how this has to work with telemedicine and prescriptions. Now, to your question right now, as far as the amounts. So there are certain medications that are just off the list to begin with, and that would be those controlled substances. People who are on them know how difficult it is and how tightly managed that is by the DEA prescribers. We know as well, if you're taking an opiate pain medication, you never can get more than 30 days at a time. And sometimes even that's hard. People taking ADHD medications, same thing. So those controlled medications are unfortunately right for now, they're off the list. Now everything else, you know, if it's a stable chronic illness that you have, blood pressure, seizure, anxiety, depression, diabetes, thyroid, you, in most cases, you're able to get a full 365-day extra supply. For things like antibiotics, and it gets back to why we have what we have in our kit and the amounts that we have them, yes, there are limits, and everything that's done, the physician needs to be able to justify, and they're always balancing that kind of risk benefit, and this is where we've settled are the numbers that you see. Now, if you were to use a medication in your kit, Absolutely, you can come back and get a refill of just that medication. You don't have to refill the whole kit. You can get a new kit every year. You can get multiple kits if you've got different places that they're being stored. So if you've got, if you're someone with a home, a cabin, an RV, you can come get a kit. Up to, there are limits to all of this, but you can get more than one kit at a time.
Not, by the way, everybody listening, not a bad idea. I hadn't thought about that, Sean, but depending upon you, and you know, maybe you're somebody that winters in Arizona, for example, or you've got, to Sean's point, an RV or a cabin or something along those lines. I hadn't thought about that, Sean, but you may be in different places. You may not have access to your quote-unquote stockpile, and that's where it gets a little bit dicey as you're out moving around and doing different things. And to your point, even some of the controls that we have as a country, which I'm not saying I'm against, but because of some of those controls, you'd have to be a little bit careful on, you know, what you're dragging around on airplanes and even in the car and so on, because that's where it can get a little bit dicey. In other words, is this for you? Are you reselling this stuff? What are you actually doing? And I understand, Sean, that with antibiotics, they don't quite look at it the same way as they may look at, you know, marijuana, cocaine, and other things, but I do believe that depending upon who you are, where you are, and what's happening, there could be a risk to that. Am I wrong?
No, exactly. I mean, when we look at having the amounts that you have of these, that's another, again, this was all very purposely thought through. There is a valid reason for each of these medications in the amount that you have them. Since we started doing this, we're the tip of the spear, first in this industry, and we've since had some people coming up trying to copy what we're doing. And like I said, hey, if it gets people prepared, that's okay. But we are the only ones that are giving you enough. For example, it's doxycycline. It's 120 tablets. That's a lot of antibiotic, I'm not going to lie, but it's the necessary amount to treat what you would need to have if there was an aerosolized anthrax attack, for example. Whichever area that happened in, if it happened over Denver, the entire area would need to be taking a prophylactic dose of doxycycline for 2 full months. You're taking this dose twice a day for 2 full months. So it's 120 tablets that you need in order to be appropriately covered for something like that. And so, but back to the point is that everything is justifiable. You've got the real prescription, comes from a licensed doctor. So, you know, yes, you can travel with these things. You can have them. But at some point, yeah, if you're exceeding these beyond much more than what we're giving you, you might start running into some trouble.
Okay. One thing, too, and maybe this is something that you could help me with, and we could put this up on the website, still linking some things back to you, is over-the-counter type things. You know, there's ointments and burn creams and all sorts of things along those lines. Do you on the website, or is that something that you might be able to, and I know that you're like me, there's not a lot of quote-unquote spare time, but maybe together we could put a list together we could get up on the website, i.e. things you buy over the counter as well?
Yeah, I believe, and forgive me because it's been a little while since I've gone through all of it, but we've got a section on our website under the extras, patient education. It's kind of basically our blog. And there have been numerous articles written that will walk through some of the over-the-counter things and help you put together a more complete medical kit. You'll have to kind of work your way through those articles. We mentioned the anti- diarrheal. We mentioned painkillers, anti-inflammatories. It's important to know the difference between if you're able to take ibuprofen, for example, it's a much more potent anti-inflammatory than something like Tylenol. And so knowing some of the differences between these pain medications. Another one it's on everyone's list, and I tell everyone to take it off, is your triple antibiotic ointment. The studies that have actually, and Neosporin, hopefully is not a sponsor.
No, they are not.
Okay. The studies that have been done have really shown that first and foremost, those ointments don't really, prevent infection. Do they help you heal quicker? Only because they are acting as a barrier. And so you could use anything, that acts similarly. you know, that it's a petroleum-based product, and that barrier is really the benefit you're getting. But what you, but the risk you're getting is all of those antibiotic substances. In most, in you're more likely to get a allergic or a sensitivity reaction to the Neosporin itself than you are to get any benefit from its antimicrobial properties. So I tell patients, it's, you don't need the triple antibiotic ointment. You need good bandages. You need to clean, know how to clean wounds. Yes, you can use something as an occlusive protectant, as a barrier, and it should just be something that's innocuous, that doesn't have a lot of stuff in it.
Okay, one question for you. When it comes to some of the ointments and different things, there's a lot of wives' tales about if you get burned, you know, put butter on the burn. And one of the things I've been reading in all of these different books is the burn end of things ends up being actually quite high, because you're doing a lot of things that right now get done for us. And what I mean by that is, you know, when the electricity's off and you're now using other means to cook and you're starting fires and there's all sorts of other things that are happening, things change and people end up with a lot more scrapes, cuts, burns, and things like that because they're doing more activity along those lines. So, Sean, when it comes to a minor burn, just as a doctor, what are the best ways to treat that?
Yeah, so butter and all these, whatever, these other old wives' tales. And now, first, actually, let me preface this. There may very well be some alternative methods. I am not an herbalist. I don't pretend to know everything about that, or, you know, other non-Western practices of medicine. I'm open to those things, but I'm not an expert to tell you, hey, this one works, this one doesn't. What I know is, yeah, talking about burns, really we want to, if the skin's intact, that's first and foremost, because what really happens with burns is two things. Number one is you lose a lot of fluid. If in serious burns, dehydration is a problem and infection is a problem. That our skin is the best barrier we have to infection. As soon as you disrupt that in burns, you're not, you know, a cut is just a slit. A burn is a big area of disruption of your natural barrier to infection. So infection is the second concern. So that means when we treat a burn, we want to cover for those two things. And if it's just a minor burn, our skin's intact, we're not worried too much about dehydration. But yes, we've got a disruption, maybe minimal in our protection. And so just keeping it clean, keeping it covered. That's pretty much it. We do offer the silver sulfadiazine cream is a type of antibiotic that is used to treat burn wounds. That is one of the add-ons we offer. And in something where you did have some disruption of the skin, that would be recommended. But at the end of the day, it's just what I said. It's keeping it clean, keeping it dry, and covered.
Okay.
For burns.
Sean, again, running out of time. Appreciate it very much. I've also got my daily show. We do an hour on health and wellness. And I know you've got a whole little blurb on kids and the wellness and so on. I'll get you back on a Wednesday here in the near future as well to cover some of that. In the meantime, all of you listening, it's Jase, J-A-S-E, medical.com. We'll put links up on our website as well. Sean, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for your time today, man. I really appreciate it.
John, I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity. I hope it was helpful, and happy to do it again.
All right, man. Appreciate you very much. Have a great rest of your day. Again, Sean Rowland, it's jasemedical.com. We'll be right back. Ready Radio, KLZ 560. All right, that's it for today. Ready Radio. You can always go to ready-radio.com and find more there. Otherwise, be safe. Have a great night, or a great afternoon, I should say. Ready Radio, KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.